It is called Romans Road, Inspiration and Insights from the Book of Romans. Today is day 10. We're on day 10 today for the devotional. And we're actually doing 21 days in September. So I can share those with you today. Let's start at Romans 5. Well, actually, I'm going to give a few definitions before we start there. As you know, on Thursday, Queen Elizabeth II went home to be with the Lord, or passed away. Amen. And so Queen Elizabeth II reigned for 70 years as a sovereign, as the head of state. Amen. And that is an amazing, all over the world, yes. You know, people are acknowledging her leadership. And I thought of the word reign when I thought of how she reigned, how she led the country. And so reign as a noun means that it's a time or a season. So when I say that Queen Elizabeth II reigned for 70 years, that means she ruled over. Amen. Reign can also be a verb. So the definition of reign as a noun is the time period of a monarch or a sovereign. But also reign, definition as a verb, is to exercise authority, to possess or exercise power, to exercise sovereign power, or to rule as a monarch. So that word can be used as a noun. A verb means is action. That means not only did Queen Elizabeth reign for 70 years, she also had rulership and authority. Amen? So when we read the Romans Road devotional today, you'll understand why we're going to talk about reign in life. Some of the synonyms for reign include command. We have command. Queen Elizabeth had command. Command means to hold, to control, the use of, to have or exercise supreme power, control or authority over, and also to rule. Another word that is a synonym of reign is prevail. Prevail is to be widespread or to be victorious, to be in force, to use, or to be effective, to be current, to exist wisely, to be prevalent. So when you think of the word prevail, reign, command, overcome, is to prevail in spite of adversity. And as believers, it's kind of coming together now when we talk about reign in life. We're taking command of the circumstances. We're reading the devotion, and it's not over others. It's over our own life. To overcome is to prevail in spite of adversity, to successfully solve a problem or defeat an opponent, to be victorious, to win. Now we can turn to Romans 5, and we're going to start at verse 1. And the title that I see here is that faith brings joy. I'm reading from the New Living, so it may be a little different translation, but you can still follow along in the version that you have. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. So everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who is yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift, for the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this one man, through the other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. And this is the verse from Romans Road. It says, verse 17, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule or to reign over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph or reign over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, but because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Verse 20, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were, but as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that would end at verse 21. So what I'd like for us to do is I've divided the verses up. And so I'd like to have four groups. Yeah, four groups. I think that we can probably have maybe four in each group, if that works out. I think that would work out. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. So that would be three groups, right? Okay. Or we could have four groups of three. Right? So let's do four groups of three. And the first group, let's count 1, 2, 3. And then you can be in a different group. Just remember your number. How about that? So 1, 2, 3, that'll give us four groups of three, right? And we'll just add in people as they come. Okay.
1, 2, 3, 1.
Right there, you're 2.
2, 3, 1.
Everybody got their number? Okay.
2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so the ones, and you can move your chairs. The ones are going to read together Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. And you're going to discuss whatever comes out in those scriptures that have meaning for you. So group 1, your verses are 1 through 5. Group 2, your verses are 6 through 11. Now, this is going to kind of overlap because it discusses the same thing, but it won't all be the same words. You'll share from your own heart. So group 2, you are verses 6 through 11. Group 3, you are verse 12 through 17. Group 3, you're going to read together and discuss verses 12 through 17. From your own insight, let the Holy Spirit just lead you to discuss among yourselves the meaning of those verses or what insight you're gaining. And so group four, your verses 18 through 21.
We don't have a group four. We have number one, three. We need to recount again.
Oh, that's right. One, two, three. We do need to recount. Now Stacy's here. You know what? Let's leave it as it is, and I will do the last one because it's only a few verses. Let's do it that way. So let's leave it as it is, 1, 2, 3, and I will actually summarize 18 through 21 as three verses. Does that work? Mm-hmm. All right. So you can break into your groups anywhere you want to, verse 1 through 5, 6 through 11, and 12 through 17, and I'll bring it home at the end. All right. You have, it is 10:58. How about let's go with 11:15? 11:15, we just come back together, and whoever you want to share, we do this all the time, so you know how to do it. So whoever's going to represent and summarize your findings or what you feel your verses bring about, could that person just come up and share with us, you know, and concisely? Everybody got it? Okay, you can go. Turn your chairs, group one over here, maybe group two over here, group three. So one, two, and three. You can move the chairs, that's fine. And if you need a Bible, there are Bibles right there. Any versions that you have, if you have a different version, you can read from a different version. One's over here, two's right here, and threes are right there.
We have verses one through five. And so I have the NIV version. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that our sufferings produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. All right, so quick. We said the biggest thing is we have this access, and then now we can be confident that we have the right keys. And you know, you're not going to get, we were talking about PIN numbers and all of that. When you've got the right key and the right PIN number, you're going to be able to get in. I got locked out of my debit card yesterday, so I had to go reset, and it was a whole big to-do. But I can be confident and know that because Jesus' grace, then it gives me the ability to do all the things I have to do, so I'm confident in what he's provided.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. We didn't have a discussion. I got drafted. So I'll try to do the best I can because I really was planning on somebody else doing this. Okay. Okay. Since we had three different versions in the four of us, among our four group, what began to strike our attention was the wording of each different version. And when it talked about what God did for us, it started out by saying what a person would do for a good man or a good person or somebody who was especially good. So we understood right away that it's not our goodness that attracted his love to us. In verse 6, that's what it says in verse 6, because in verse 6, it describes mankind as being without strength, still powerless, and utterly helpless. And those three words in the versions let us know the condition that mankind was in. So there was no way we could be good enough. Verse 8 says that what God did with the love that he had for us is he demonstrated or he showed it. And we talked about how
you can say you love somebody, but people know you really love them when you demonstrate it, when you show. And so we should not just love in word, but in truth, we should love truly by demonstrating. Verse 9, we talked about the mankind's condition, and that is that the change that God made in our condition, and that is, and the words we use was, he made us right with God. And that's that word justified. He made us right with God because we weren't right. And it says also in that verse that when he made us right with God, he took us from under the wrath of the condemnation of God. And so somebody asked in our group, what does wrath mean? I said, it means God's anger. God's anger is not like man's anger. Just like God's love, not like man's love. But I'm so glad that God has entered the heart of all those of us who believe, and so we can love like he loves. And verse 10 says that the condition we were in was changed because God was restored us by the death of his son. He saved us through the life of his son. So we stand here now today saved through the life of his son because he restored us. Because our condition was we were all sinners and Christ died for us. And I'm glad that those different versions that we read today kind of pulled out the different wording so that help us think about the condition of all mankind, all mankind who's ever lived, who's living now, and whoever will live, that when God came, he, in his love and mercy, through his son, made us powerful who were powerless. He made us to be helpers for us who were utterly helpless. And I thank him for it. Amen.
And then for the last week, it was verses 12 through 17.
A willing, yes. Okay, you know when God wants you to share because everybody else is saying, not me. Okay, all right. Okay, and I'm that one. After a while, it's like, it's on you. Okay, so praise the Lord. Okay, we have verses 12 through 17. And verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Before Adam's disobedience, and that's what it is, disobedience brought about sin. And after that, everyone that came after that was born sinful in nature. So we all have sin because of the disobedience of one. But we're disobedient in ourselves. We were all in darkness. Okay, we were all in darkness, rebellious to God. And so those that come after us, I don't care how cute the baby is, they are sinners. Okay, all right. Verse, and this is to confirm this. It says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. We can say we don't know right from wrong, okay? But there's laws that let us know we are doing right or we are doing wrong. We got speed limits that say 55 or 25 in a school zone, and if we're going on, we're breaking the law, okay? So the law held them accountable, you know, to the sin. So, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Sin brought about death. The law brought about death because they lived in a time of not knowing, unbelief, didn't have a relationship with the Creator. So death reigned even over those who had not sinned, you know, according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam. So there was a time when there may have been people that did not sin according to this law that were given, but that was all under Adam. It was under Adam. And here we come to the free gift. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more grace of God, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. When we accept the gift of the death, burial, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made to reconcile us to God, when we accept that free gift that God gave, then, and that's by faith. That's not under the law. It's by faith. So, even though there were many offenses, because of Jesus Christ, the grace of God has abound much more than the offense. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. Which takes us to, there is therefore now no condemnation in those that believe and that follow in the word of God, in the truth of God, in the gospel. So we are not under condemnation anymore. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. We have been justified by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. And there's that verb that Sister Pat was talking about. You know, it's an action. You know, as we have received the free gift, as we are now reigning in the truth, the faith that came by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so as we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us, we are able to reign, I'm going to say, better as we grow in Christ, you know, as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into wholeness, the wholeness that God wants us to have. Amen? Amen.
Okay, go back here. I had something pulled up that I wanted to share, and I got to find out where it went to. Okay, let me find it here. There it is, okay. All right, and I'm starting verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person, being Adam, disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to read from the Romans devotion. We're on devotion day 8. If you just came in, it says, reign in life. And pastor wrote this devotional. This was day 8 of this week. It says, Adam, as the progenitor of the human race, is responsible for leaving us a legacy of what we call the sin nature. We inherited the desire to sin, which resulted in death reigning over humanity. We just heard that from Minister Epps. Jesus, who is called the last Adam, has reversed the curse. Jesus empowered us to abide. Jesus empowered us to be able to experience an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Sister Nicole talked about access. So Jesus provided, Jesus empowered us, Jesus gave us access to be able to experience an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The outcome of this grace and the gift is that through Christ, you can reign in life. We do not reign over people. So I'll read it again. We do not reign over people. We are not Queen Elizabeth II. We're not President Biden. We don't reign over people. And that's something we have to get a hold of sometimes. But we reign over ourselves and our circumstances. So we're empowered to reign over the things that we have control of. And the things that we don't have control over, then we allow God and the Holy Spirit to reign over those things or those people that we love. So our reign is over ourselves and our circumstance. Because of Jesus, we are no longer victims. We are victorious. How do you reign in life through Christ? And I was listening to all of you that were sharing. And Minister Epps just shared what I've been feeling these last couple of days about how do I reign in life through Christ. To reign in life through Christ requires knowledge and understanding of the promises, the principles, and the provision that God freely offers to those who trust in Him. So I can discuss reigning in life, but if I'm not aware of what God has spoken, if I'm not aware of His promises, if I'm not aware of the provision, the benefits, and the access, I'm not empowered. I don't have authority. I don't have leadership. I'm not ruling. I'm not reigning. And so I feel that once that we understand that Christ died for our sins, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that Adam brought sin, but Christ, the other man, brought righteousness and grace and freedom for us. So once that becomes a part of our understanding, then we are to live that, to walk in that. And so I said here, if I do not know and understand what the Word of God declares about fear, I will continue to let fear reign over me. If I don't understand what the Word of God says about finances, then I'm not reigning over my finances. So we can reign over the things that concern us, our circumstances. Are we reigning over fear? If we have fear, anxiety, what does the Word say about fear? For God has not given me the spirit of fear. He's given me love, power, and so if we're not reigning over fear, then fear is reigning over us. Right. If we're not reigning over our finances, if our credit card debt, if whatever we have, if it's not aligned with how we should have a budget, whatever you feel is right for your life, I can't dictate how you spend your money. But do your finances reign over you, or do you reign over your finances? Which then produces lack, right? Do we reign over our health? So, yes, we all have to combat, sometimes sniffles, and some of us have had COVID. Maybe somebody has dealt with COVID in this room. But those are things that we have to understand that God's still healing us, but we can also reign over our health, right? We can do things as much as we can, as much as we can, whether that means that I'm reigning over keeping my doctor's appointments, getting my checkups, whatever you personally, because I'll read it again, but we can reign over ourselves and our circumstances. I can't dictate for you how you reign over your health. But I guarantee you, if you've been spending time in prayer and you've been, you know, you've made a decision for what your health looks like, then you know what I'm saying. So for each one of us, it could look differently. But we can reign over the decisions that we make about our health. We can reign over the decisions we make about our relationships. So when I talk about the word reign, reign means rule. So I'm rule over the decisions I've made in my life about the things that involve me. I can empower myself. I can exercise authority over the things that I reign over. And I can increase even. We just read that there is an abundance of grace. I can be abundantly reigning over my finances, that I have more than enough to give. I have my needs met, but if I'm in abundance, I have enough to sow and to give. So I can also reign. G means gain. So R for reign is rule. E is empower or exercise authority. I is increase. Increase in my understanding. Increase in my knowledge. Increase, like you said today. And I see the word of God as a seed, and we know that. So as you were sharing today, I think in this group you had three different versions of the same scriptures. That's an increase. You shared among yourself. You deposited in each other and expounded the word in 15 minutes. So that deposit becomes a part of us. It grows. It develops and increases. And G is gain. We gain understanding. And then N, we begin to navigate. We begin to navigate on how we reign. And I'm going to share with you, just being honest, and this kind of came home with me because I think that there are times in our life when our circumstances, and I'll just put it like this, our feelings, when our feelings are not in line with our authority and our rulership and our reigning, because our feelings are speaking louder than, or the circumstances that we have are speaking louder than what the word is saying. And maybe I'm only speaking for myself. Maybe you don't have that. So I'm just going to share a few things that I have been meditating on these last few months, and I'll just share a little bit of my testimony over the last few months. But some of these things I believe have just been the word of God that have helped me. This one is called reign over feelings that contradict the promises of God. So I've got to make a decision if I am reigning, ruling, exercising authority, gaining increase. Bring me all your feelings, even the ones you wish you didn't have. Fear and anxiety. Feelings per se are not sinful, but they can be temptations to sin. They can be blazing missiles of fear that fly at us day and night. These attacks from the evil one come at you relentlessly. Use your shield of faith. So here I'm feeling discouraged. It's a feeling. So we have a choice, and it happens to all of us at different times in our life. When the feelings come, we can go in the direction that the feeling's taken us, or this one says, I can use my shield of faith. And it says, I can extinguish the flaming arrows. It says in Ephesians 6, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. So I can gain knowledge. If I'm having that feeling of sadness or loneliness or lack or just my self-confidence, what I can do is I can continue that feeling, or I can put up the shield of faith. I can say, you know what? Those are the arrows. Those are the attacks in my mind that are happening. And now how am I going to respond to that? I'm going to use my shield of faith, extinguish those arrows, affirm my trust in God, regardless of how I feel. And if you persist, if I continue to hold up that shield, if I continue to renew my mind, if I continue to say I reign, what happens is my feelings will eventually fall in line with my faith. Yeah. We've been there, right? Yeah. We've been there. And that feeling then becomes overpowered by the access that we have in the power and the Word of God. Sometimes it happens immediately. Sometimes it happens in a session like this. Sometimes it happens when you hear a word that's being ministered on a Sunday or on a rate. Sometimes it happens just at the moment that we need it. And that's what's happening to what happened to me. I, as you know, my dad passed away in February. And after that, our daughter, Michelle, had a surgery. And she needed some assistance in her recovery from back surgery. So it seems like the spring and into the late spring, I then had already planned to retire. And so I was in the process of applying for pension, everything that you have to do to close down, you know, a career, along with the other things that were happening in those few months. And honestly, I couldn't describe how I was feeling. And it wasn't grief. But when I tried to explain to people who would check on me and say, well, how are you doing? And I felt lost. That's the best way I can say it. Not lost from God. I wasn't lost or disconnected from God, but I felt lost as a wandering. Like, where do I belong? Where am I going? My dad, who of course would be paternal, you know, my paternal, right? My dad, he's the one who, you know, your dad kind of the one that oversees as you were a child. And I think losing my dad passing away, he was 90, he's in heaven. It's kind of a different feeling that my dad provided for me before my husband, right? Before my husband, my dad was that priest or that protector. And so then that kind of gives me a feeling of, And then going into winding up the career that I'd spent 42 years in, I began to still feel, well, where am I going now? And yes, I think that we all know what the Word says. We all know how to read, and we all know how to say, you know, take those feelings, Sister Pat, and you know what the Word says. You're not lost. You're found. God loves you. You know, we all know how to do that. But I will say that there are times that you're reaching for what you know. You're struggling to find that place. And so through prayer, through the support of my husband, my pastor, my friend, through the support of you and your prayers, there were days that I felt like I was on a roller coaster up and down, but there were days when I felt victorious. And some of you've been there. You've been where you've lost a loved one. You've been through difficult times. And it is a journey. And this is so interesting. I was had been helping my mom go through a lot of different things in her home, came across a recorder, read an article in the recorder by someone whose name is James Washington. He's an author. He's a journalist. And I read an article in the recorder from Spiritually Speaking. So when he writes, his column is called Spiritually Speaking. And the one that I opened up and read was not this one, but I Googled his name. And I went to his website, and I pulled up this particular article. And it says, no matter where the journey takes you, you never forget where home is. And as soon as I read that, it's like a light opened. And I thought, so that's how, that, it almost was, and maybe you've been there, where you've been calling out, and you've been praying, and you've been asking God, what's going on? And you read something, someone shares something with you, and it all comes together. And it says, I'm just going to read the part that really helped me. No matter where the journey takes you, you never forget where home is. And my journey the first few months of this year was a mixture of many different feelings. But he says in here, it says that he talks about the parable of the lost son. And it says his truth he could not deny. He was lost. He had to become lost. He went looking for lost and found it. So the prodigal son, he made himself lost. But here was the sweet thing about it. He went looking for lost. He became lost. But then he found himself. It enabled him to find himself and find his way home. So he was lost, but now he's found. And it says, all I'm trying to say is when you finally get it, there's only one place to go, home. And in this case, home is where God is. The way was prepared by Christ, who, like a homing beacon, shows us all how to find ourselves and thus be found. If you've ever been truly lost, you know the exhilaration you feel when you finally figure it out and get going in the right direction again. My point is simple. Being lost is not the issue. Having enough sense to know it and do something about it is. I promise you, the moment you begin to look for the Lord, he will find you. It kind of gives new meaning to the phrase, lost and found. May God bless and always keep you. And those moments in my life begin to happen the more I begin to recognize the changes, the journey that I was on, the more I begin to say, God, you're bringing me back to me. You're restoring me. You're getting me to understand where I am and that you're always with me. I know that God's always with me, but my feelings were saying, but where are you going? What are you going to do with your life? I didn't have all the answers. I still don't have all the answers. But I know where I can go. No matter where my journey takes me, never forget where home is. And home is where I find peace. Home is where I find I can reign and rule. Home is where I find God's love. And I'm going to share this with you, and then we're going to pray. It's 11:49. I was leaving work. Pastor was there with me, packed up my room. My last day was on May 25th. So I'm leaving work, and, you know, I'm crying. Of course, I'm in tears. And so I do listen to 1310, and I'm listening to 1310, and this came on. Dark just before dawn. The season I've experienced. It won't be too long. It's closer than you think than I think I am. Look to the sky. Help is on the way. It's not over. It's only the beginning. It's not finished. It's not ending. My story's not over. When God is in it. So I'm driving home and literally crushed. I mean, I know that it's time for me to retire. I have no doubt about that. I know that it's time for me to retire. I still don't regret that. But it doesn't take away from the feeling of something closing, of ending. And I usually do listen to the radio, but I was on 40th and in Illinois. I got down to 46th Street and this song came on. And the Lord said, it's not over. You're retiring, you're leaving one thing, but you're moving into something else. It's only the beginning. So I don't know if God works with you like that, but he works in my life like that. When I don't feel like I'm raining, when I know what the word says, when I know that I've walked this way before, I've seen God move, but there are times in our journey where I need to come home. There are times, you know, even on that particular day where I had to be reminded that God's word is true. I had to gain that knowledge, Minister Epps. I had to be renewed again that what God said, that I have access. So I want you to know that wherever you are on your journey, whatever you have had the opportunity to move in or to walk in or whatever you're facing, whatever you're coming into in life, God doesn't expect us to not have to trust and rely on him. See, our faith, as it says, our faith, our shield of faith, our faith is increased, endurance, works patience, because we recognize, Lord, I need you. Yeah. I'm getting up every morning for the last 4 or 5 months, and the first thing I say is, Lord, I need your help. I need you today, Lord. I don't know if I'm going to be able to face or where I'm going or where this journey is going, but I need you to help me make it through this day. And as soon as you say that, as soon as we confess that, I don't have all the answers, but God does. Yes, he does. Let's all stand. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's not over. It's only the, so then I began to get excited. I had to pull the car over. I was like, what's the next thing? What's the new thing? So I went from this feeling of just feeling sad and gloom to this one time within 2 minutes of this one song that just encouraged my heart, and it just tells me how much he loves me. He knows where I am. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows what I'm feeling. But Patricia, I just want you to know, it's not over. You're not lost. You're not lost. Let the journey bring you back to me. Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for each woman that's in this room today. And I thank you, Father, that you're with us. You're always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And Lord, when we don't feel that we are reigning, that we're ruling, that we have increase and we have knowledge and we can navigate, we can say, Lord, supply the need. Send the encouragement, Lord. Remind us again. Bring to our remembrance, Lord God, all the things that you've promised. And Lord, you don't leave us. You don't leave us. When I have felt like I was in, Lord God, the valley, I was never alone. When I felt like I was wandering and lost because of grief and because of change, because of going in a different way that I haven't been before, you were right there with me. And along that journey, you have brought people into my life. You've given encouragement. You've given words. You've used my own. You use my husband to speak into my life. You've used people in this room to pray for me. Lord, and I've always felt, I've always known and recognized that you're with me. So I thank you, Father God, right now for every woman in this room, Lord, that their hearts are encouraged and strengthened. That we do reign in life. We can reign over our finances. We reign over our feelings, Lord God. And Lord God, we can walk in the knowledge. Thank you, Lord, of your word and of your promises. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord.